The scripture reading for today will be 1 James verses 2 through 5. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you.
I am genuinely thankful to see all of you this morning. I appreciate that you come here because you want to sing things like, Blessed be your name, O Lord, and that you want to have this moment, this opportunity to worship our God. We've just been reminded in our scripture reading of an admonition that is given by James. And it's an admonition that can be so very challenging for us to wrap our minds around. It is that way for me, and I imagine I'm not alone. James encourages all the saints to consider it all joy when we face or when we encounter various trials or various tests to our faith. And that's not generally our reaction. That's not generally my reaction. That's not what we think of. That's not what happens within us, I'm afraid, when we are facing so many trying moments, so many trying circumstances in our lives. Instead, we often think, oh no, what now? Is there something else going on? Is there another difficulty? Why does life seem to be so difficult at times? But James says we can rejoice, that we can feel a joy, that there needs to be a joy. And I want us to be clear about this idea. This joy that we're talking about here, it isn't a reference to some kind of external, kind of superficial feeling of euphoria or happiness. That's not what we're talking about when James says, count it all joy. It isn't a feeling that somehow brings a smile to our face, that we think, oh, yeah, things are good. And we try to be cheerful. We try to be upbeat in front of others. That's not what this joy is about. It's not a spirit of optimism in the face of serious and sometimes even tragic events. That is not at all what James has in mind. And I don't want you to get me wrong. I like people that are positive. I like people that try to see the sunny side, the good side, that like to be optimistic. I like that kind of thing. But that is not what James is talking about here. Instead, he is talking about an inner sense of joy. He's talking about a joy that comes from a sober mind, a sober spirit. It's a joy that's chosen by God's people. It's not just because something good has happened and we feel good about it. It's something that we choose because we have a clear understanding that there's purpose, that there's value in going through the challenges that come our way. Yes, life is difficult. Yes, life can be hard. And as you get older, young people, you're going to realize that more and more. You not only have your own challenges that you have to face, but you accept the challenges that are going on in the lives of those that you love, especially the lives of your family. And you are affected by what's going on. And there are difficulties that we face. But yet there is a purpose. There's a value in all of this. Exercise buffs, and I'm talking about physical exercise now, they like to say no pain, no gain. Right, Derek? Isn't that what you guys say in the gym when you're pumping iron and all that? I used to pump iron. Maybe 40 years ago or 30 years ago or something like that. But people say no pain, no gain, and we know what they mean. We've all been there. We know the muscle aches that go on the day after you start this new regime. I'm going to get in shape. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to push myself. I'm going to be a new me physically, we might think. You aren't going to make progress towards gaining physical strength and endurance without pushing yourself, even to the point that there is some pain, physical pain, that must take place. You have to experience some actual pain or hurting in order to feel that you're really progressing further. You know that to be the case. We've got some people in here that used to be athletic, believe it or not, and some still are. We've got some championship volleyball people that are part of this congregation. We've got bicyclists that I could keep up with 20 years ago for maybe the first half mile, but they keep going for 40 miles or 50 miles or 110 miles. Isn't that right, Brian? Something like that, some of those races? But you have to push yourself. We all understand that. There are many athletes that succeed in their chosen sport, not because of far superior athletic prowess or because of superior gifts of coordination or physical intuitiveness, but because of how hard they're willing to push themselves. They separate themselves from others based on their great work ethic, the fact that they will stick to it. They will train. No matter the number of hours, no matter the amount of toil and sweat involved. And I love that. I love to read those kind of stories. I like to hear about those kind of stories about teams. I'm an underdog person that roots for the team that's not supposed to win. Especially when I hear stories of how hard they've worked to get where they're at. Brethren, likewise, the scriptures teach us that spiritual growth cannot be achieved. It will not be achieved unless there is a determination to joyfully, I want you to consider that word, to joyfully endure the trials that we face. That determination, I don't know where I'm at on my slides. We're going to find out. That determination cannot exist unless there is the recognition that there's value, that there is purpose, that there's progress that comes if we will stick to it, if we will joyfully endure, even as James is talking about. And that determination cannot be there, cannot really be present without the recognition that there is a wondrous God, a loving God, who is always there to supply us with strength and encouragement, no matter the severity of the trial that we face. You know, when you're young and you stand in front of the mirror and you're doing some curls, and you think, oh, I think I'm getting a little bit bigger there. What do they call that? Your guns? Is that what I've heard some people saying? Your guns. Wow, they're really, you're coming along. It's hard for a 110-pound seventh grader to believe, but they're coming along. They're coming along. This isn't something that spiritually say, God, look at me. How about that? It's not what we're talking about. Our spiritual strength can only come because God provides it for us, because he encourages us, because he helps us to have the right perspective, to see things clearly. And we need his perspective if we're going to consider it all joy when we face various trials. This needs to sink in, brethren. Trials in life will have one or the other of two possible effects. They'll either cause some to grumble, to complain, to resent the presence of those things in their lives, or they will produce patience and endurance. With God's help, if we have the right perspective, that's what they will produce. So very often we're prone to choose the path of least resistance in trying to find a way forward. And that's sad. That's unfortunate. We don't want trials. We don't want difficulties. We don't want to be tested. That's not what we're inclined towards. We resist being put in that kind of circumstance or situation. We want things to be smooth for us. Gary Henry is one of my favorite writers. If you don't know about Gary's writings, I would love to introduce them to you. I would love to give you one of his books or put you on to the helps that he provides. This quotation, and it's a lengthy quotation, and I hope you don't mind, but here's what he says in one of his studies just a few days ago. He says, there are certain people who, rather than working to achieve goals, spend most of their time looking for shortcuts, unwilling to accept the process that leads to a result. These folks are always angling for some advantage that will eliminate the journey and get them to the end of the rainbow right now. This is very common. I wish I could say it wasn't common in my generation. It was. It was. I wish I could say that it's not common in the new generation that we have coming up. It is. It is very common. Some students, for example, would like to know their stuff without studying. Doesn't happen that way. Doesn't happen that way. Some athletes would like to win the trophy without training their bodies. Some businessmen would like to get rich without investing their money. Some farmers would like to reap the harvest without working the field. And some soldiers would like to win the war without fighting the battle. There is a spiritual warfare that is going on that involves every one of us. There are no exceptions. And you cannot win the battle without entering into the fight. Some Christians, let's face it, Gary says, would like to be spiritually mature without going through the process of spiritual growth. You can't. You can't be spiritually mature. You can't be perfected. Become more godly. Become what God wants us to be in the likeness of His Son. You can't without going through the process of spiritual growth. I'm probably telling you this too late. Thank you, young people, for taking notes. I will supply a copy of this to anybody that would like this. Just let me know. And I'll give you a copy of these things. In reality, however, those who would be mature in God's eyes must pass through some difficult stages. We're a long way from where we need to be. And the destination can't be reached without crossing the distance. It's foolish and it's dangerous to try. It's not going to get us where we need to go.
where if we have the right heart that we want to go. But here's the point. And this goes back to our passage in James. We should not only tolerate the process of growth, we should embrace it willingly, gratefully, and even joyfully. Athletes are willing to do that. Why? Because there's a crown. There's a reward. And they say, I'll do that. I'll go through that. I'll do that if it's going to lead to the result that I desire, that I want so badly. We need to embrace it, this journey. It's difficult. Life is difficult, brethren. Don't think you can cut that out. But how are you going to accept the difficulties? Are you going to put your confidence in God that He'll strengthen you, He'll hold you up, He'll provide what you need so that you can approach it willingly, gratefully, joyfully? The process of spiritual growth involves no small amount of pain. There's going to be days that you spend on your knees in prayer and saying, here I am again, Lord. Help me, please. Help me, please. Give me strength. How do I face this? How do I go through this? But James says that we are to count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. James is saying we should accept and even desire the process, as difficult as it is. Why? Because of what it leads to. He's told us what it leads to. That there can be a maturing, there can be a coming to spiritual perfection, that we're fully grown. Doesn't mean we don't sin. Doesn't mean that we're able to eliminate every weakness. But it means there's a maturity that we can have, that we can reach. And we should be grateful for the manner in which God deems it best for us to get there. This is what James is saying to us. And I hope that you'll contemplate that, that you'll think about these things in the week ahead, because you're going to be challenged in the week ahead. There's going to be some tough times for some people in the days ahead. Face them. Not saying, oh, I'm so glad I'm suffering. I'm so glad there's hard times. I'm going to smile about it. No, that's not what we're talking about. But there's an understanding, a deep understanding inside of us that says this is going to pay off if I trust in God and if I consider it all joy as I face these things. Appreciate the way that you've listened this morning. I guess I'm like the fifth string quarterback. The starter is not here today. And I only found that out 2 days ago. And I only could pass this on to Ashley, that, hey, Ashley, can I get you involved? And I appreciate it very, very much. There's one other comment that I want to make that I had decided to make when I got up, and that is, Ben, we are glad you're back. And we have not said that publicly, I don't think. But we are glad that you're back. We're thankful for the trip that you made. And we know that there were hearts that were encouraged and lifted up by your trip to India. We thank you so much for loving the Lord's people over there and wanting to go and build them up. If you're here this morning and you're struggling with something and you need some extra help, I'm a fifth string quarterback, but I'll be glad to try. We got some other folks that are glad to try. Tell us how we can help you. We need to talk, need to study, need to pray. Let's do those things. We're going to sing an invitation song. And if there's any who this is the moment that you think, I want to be baptized this morning into Jesus Christ, let's do that. If you're here this morning as a child of God, there are things that are amiss in your life. If we can be of assistance, if we can pray with you, we would love to do that. But we hope that if there are any that would need to respond, that you'd want to come and do that right now while we stand, while we sing.